Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, right, Mop Top, and I'm Ed Sullivan. Really big shoe. No, I can do it better.
Really big shoe. Really big.
That's it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod. We're back for real. I warned you all. I promised you all it was going to take us a few weeks. We had to figure out schedules. We had to wait for a couple more wars to start, a genocide to kick off. But God damn it, now that all that's taking place, here we are. David, hi. How are you?
I've got 6 months of World War II analogies just burbling up inside of me. And now it seems a bit offside to use them, given everything that's going on in the world at the moment. So I'll just need to sit on them for a while.
You can't even use your World War I analogies anymore with what's happening in Armenia. So, you got to go back to...
Don't you worry. I've been doing a bit, and we'll get to it today. I've been reading a lot about British kings and queens, like really old ones.
Oh, boy.
And you know that some of them were not very nice people.
Really? Some?
Huh. I mean, it was, you know, some of them were, you know, I'd go so far as to say some of them were quite nasty. I think we're lucky. We're lucky with King Charles. That's all I'm saying, right? He's you know, he hasn't tried to invade France once.
He's only killed one ex-wife. I mean, it's not too bad, you know?
I would say that we're a bad batch of foie gras away from that happening.
Yeah. Be ambitious, but given everything that's going on in the world at the moment, it's nice to come back to talk absolute shit with you too.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, yeah. Todd, hi, Todd. People were asking, like, oh, you know, thank God you guys don't have anything serious to talk about at Rangers or the World. It's like, no, have you never listened to this? We're not talking about any of that.
Yeah. Like, no.
We get together to cheer each other up. We don't get together to fucking press each other.
I don't want to think about the fact that, like, Rangers' legal department only has one person in it who's barely qualified or anything like that. Or, you know, we like hiring all of our managers in October now, which is the best time of the year to replace
David.
No.
David has a 92% subscription retention rate. We are the 8%. We are the ones that drive them out of here like the snakes out of Ireland.
didn't know what they had until it was gone. But see basically on the annual managerial hunt, the third annual managerial hunt in October, I said to my wife, I said, right, I'm away at the shops, I'm going into Glasgow, I need to buy some clothes for the next Rangers manager unveiling. She went, didn't you do that before? I said, yes, I did.
Yep.
I did it twice before. I said, and I dare say I'll be back here this time next year. Hopefully I won't. Wouldn't it be nice to just fall in love with somebody a la Walter or Souness or even Advocaat for that first spell? Mm-hmm. Just somebody that you could go, but I don't envy the poor bastard that gets a job. I'll tell you that right now because that squad is... Woo!
Yeah, I don't really
They're going to pull off a mask and it's going to be Steven Gerrard underneath. Like, that's all it's going to be.
Somebody said to me, would you take Gerrard? But just to show you how unreasonable some football fans are, would you take Gerrard back? I said, mate, he's on 20 million a year.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Todd, are you going with Scouser steals person's identity? I mean, are we going right to the theft jokes?
The other thing about that is people often say about football people, right, they say, but, you know, money might not motivate him. He might have enough. And I'm like, if money doesn't motivate him, why the fuck is he in Saudi Arabia right now?
Exactly. I love the summers.
do you know, Eden Hazard just retired because nobody wants to pay him money. That's why.
Yes.
He can wax poetic about how, after consulting with my family and blah, 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 decided to stop playing a game that pays me, you know, £350,000 a week at the age of 32. No. Nobody wants to pay him that anymore. That's just, he's broken down. He has no value to, you know, the clubs that can afford to pay him that. That's it. Yes. He's done.
That's it. David De Gea is talking about the same. He's saying that
I thought he retired about 6 or 7 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's true.
Fair play to Man United because they've gone and got somebody even worse. a remarkable achievement, or somebody more likely to chuck the ball in the net, at least. But I would give
that guy at least, you know, half a shake at saving a penalty sometime over the next, you know, 3 or 4 presidential administrations. I mean, what was the last time De Gea has he stopped one since?
He stopped one last season, but it came a bit late because he didn't manage to stop any of the 11 he faced.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, 11. I would stop one of 11.
Yeah,
right. You would stop one of 11. Just the odds.
Just stand there. Right. Don't move.
Just stand there, right?
Yes.
Move, somebody's going to
put one down the middle eventually.
Yes, exactly. Someone's going to try a Pachenko, and it will just go off your dick, and then Shane will be happy because he gets that video again. You know,
Shane, tell the people about what has cheered us in a depressing week.
Oh my God! No, it was during the Big Ten. It was Rutgers and some whatever shitty schools. Doesn't matter.
Stick the link in the show description.
I'll go find it. I'll go. Yeah, scroll down to the show notes.
There's one thing, Shane. I love that you put this video up, but there is one thing it was desperately missing, and it was this. Yerk.
No. Quarterback attempting to just throw the ball away, and he did throw it away into a photographer's nuts, which is always funny.
And it was the pointy bit as well.
Yes. Skipped off the turf and
off the turf
perfectly angled on a line right to the tackle. And
Shane and I were talking about it before we came on air. And the thing that I particularly loved about it is that the gif I saw of it obviously only lasted a few seconds. So as soon as it hits him and he crumples to the ground, it almost immediately ends. But even in that time, you can see the two people standing next to him are already beginning to laugh because there is nothing funnier than a man getting hit in the balls by any sort of ball.
That's the definition of comedy versus tragedy. I believe it was Mel Brooks, you know. Tragedy is when I get hit in the nuts. Comedy is when it happens to you.
Yeah. And Shane and I were talking about, I once saw a comedian, he said, you know, it's difficult for me to come on stage and tell jokes in inverted commas. He said, because I don't find that funny. I find old fashioned humor funny. And it was a laugh of the audience. He said, no, you're thinking I mean gentle humor, don't you? He said, no, I mean the proper old fashioned humor of cruelty. where people get it, Laurel and Hardy, you know, he tortured poor Stan.
Yeah,
right? I mean, that was just, basically, you know, the Three Stooges, they used to kick the shit out of each other.
I was about to ask if you got the Three Stooges over there, because, you know, it was just lovely. Like, even as a child, you know, when you're watching this, as soon as Curly had the plank on his shoulder, you went, here it comes. Here it comes. He's going to turn, and there it is.
They did a Three Stooges takeoff in The Simpsons with ex-presidents, and it's still funny. You know, someone unintentionally carrying a plank, hitting someone is still genuinely funny. But somebody getting hit in the... Because we were saying, you know, if somebody gets hit in the head with a ball, you go, Jesus, are you all right? Yeah. But if somebody gets hit in the balls, you go, you got hit in the balls. And the worst thing for that guy isn't the fact he got hit in the balls, though, as we all know, that's deeply deep. It's worse than pregnancy, any women listening. Trust me. Giving birth is
there what the women listeners can. No, see ya.
It's just fact.
Now well, 9%.
Here's the thing, right? Do either of you have a brother or a sister?
Aye, for sure.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I've got two older brothers. I remember at a very young age.
Women have
kicking my brother in the nuts, and even then, I thought he didn't find it funny. I thought it was funny.
Tragedy. Yeah. Right. Women though, right? They have more than one kid. Whereas if you've been kicked in the balls, you never want to be kicked in the balls again. So clearly, getting kicked in the balls is what that's a scientific. Right. Look, that's evidence I've just presented.
There is actually, if you go find the footage, there is the perfect example of the marriage of comedy and tragedy at the same time. And it is Graham Souness's Nutsack Tackle, which I can't remember which game it was, but like he's just coming through and let's just say he kind of put the train right through the tunnel on this guy. And you look at it and go, oh, that's hilarious. Oh, no, it's not. And it's,
I think one of my most memorable injuries, and that's saying something.
That right is saying something.
Was playing hockey. I don't know. I had my early 20s back when I could move and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd, you know, I mean, you have a girdle in hockey that holds pads and your cup and all the... Yep. All the stuff to protect that area down there. The strap that like holds the cup in place from the bottom had snapped.
Yep.
So it was just kind of dangling there. It wasn't secured around the package, you know?
Yes. And, by the way, the only cup the Toronto Maple Leafs will ever get in modern times.
1967.
But
so that's that. So I went down. The block a shot as you know, like when you do the thing where you lay down and it skipped off the puck, fired off the top of my knee pad directly up into the unprotected area at the bottom of the, you know, right before the taint, like down in there. And Oh my God.
Yeah.
I never
felt by the way. Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh no. Very funny. I mean, you know, even after the initial 3 hours and about 12 fucking beers, then I found it mildly humorous.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it is. It's like when you fall, right? The first thing you do when you fall is bounce straight back up, like as if it was a bouncy castle, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Because and you want people who are around you to go, did he fall? Oh, I'm sure he did, but it was so quick, right? And what you do is people say, you're right, yeah, totally fine, right? And you walk around the corner and go, ah, fucking hell. Right? Because the worst part of getting hit in the nuts or falling down is the fact that people find it hilarious. And it is, if it happens, same as if you see someone fall in the street, you run over and go, God, are you okay? And if they say yes, you then can go, ah, you fell down.
Yeah.
It is just like watching a cat fall off of stuff. it's the exact thing. It's just we had a cat and he enjoyed banisters, and he also enjoyed banisters that were on the third floor. And so one day we're just watching TV and we suddenly hear this huge scramble of
you've got a three floor house.
Well, they converted the attic. This was our house in Toronto. So like that was where our bedroom was. So he was up on that banister, fell to the second floor, and we went, are you okay? And he was just like, oh no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And he waited us for not to look around and then snuck in under the bed for about 5 hours. And
I thought cats always landed in their feet. Is that a myth?
No, they will.
Yeah. By and large. Will. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
squirrels are probably slightly better at it than cats, but overall. Mm-hmm.
Well, can I just tell you about the greatest letter to the editor of all time, which appeared in the Scottish newspaper, the Sunday Post. The Scottish newspaper, the Sunday Post, is a venerable old institution. It's very old-fashioned, and its readership skews very old. Like I'm talking, you know, 70s and 80s.
Right.
It's always been, as I say, it's barely even online now, in 2023, right? Mm-hmm. They occasionally remember to put an article up, but it's not what you would call down with the kids. And for years on followfollow.com, we had a competition to see who could get a letter printed in the Sunday Post. Oh. What you weren't allowed to say was anything about going for an operation, because that was guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Or that you had visited a roadside cafe and been charged £10 for a cup of tea and a scone. Is this the most expensive cup of tea and a scone in Scotland? Because those were guaranteed, right? Those would get you in. You had to come up with something else. But the genuine ones were so mental that we couldn't do it. Nobody could ever do it. My favourite one being a man who wrote in, apropos of nothing, right? I mean, there hadn't been an article or there hadn't been a news story or a discussion about this. He just decided, he took time out of his life to write in.
Basically, this guy's telling on himself. Whatever you're about to say.
Yes.
I do have to say, what you're describing right now, you could not do because you're basically describing next door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's all you're describing right now.
Well, he said, people find squirrels very cute, but if you remove their bushy tails, they are no more than disease-infested rats. And would people find disease-infested rats cute? I think not. That was it. That was the letter he sent in for no fucking reason whatsoever. He just decided that he just had clearly seen a squirrel in the apartment. Yeah. I fucking hate just you.
Fuck off.
I literally saw that on Nextdoor last week. Like, that, it's just apropos.
I feel like emails from my old neighborhood for that shit. And I'm just like, God damn. Like, you live in the most gentrified white upper middle class neighborhood in Rockford. And somehow every day you've got something to bitch about.
There's the next door for my neighborhood should be called, I think I'm being scammed. Hey, what's up with these kids on my yard? And really passive aggressive racism. Like, that's all it is.
Oh, this is definitely for white people to complain about, you know.
Oh my God, yes.
Or the blacks.
Like, the icon should not be the badge with an N on it. It should be that picture of Abe Simpson screaming at a cloud in the newspaper. Yeah.
Well,
running for the Lemon Party in the upcoming city council elections.
Speaking of logos, there's been a bit of a kerfuffle over here while we've been away about the Daily Telegraph. And the Daily Telegraph is a right-wing newspaper, proudly right-wing, and that's fair enough. That's entirely
hard to find those these days.
Yeah,
you don't get many of them.
For sure.
But, you know, it's a venerable old British newspaper. And their politics section issued a new avi for Twitter, right? Yeah. And it is a white square with a red circle. Another way around. And a black T. Oh, dear indeed, yes.
Oh, dear.
And it does look exactly like what you think it looks like.
Is it kind of tilted at an angle, just subtly for some reason?
How does that get through with it, somebody going, it reminds me of something.
I can't put my finger on it.
See, David, you know, there's a long lesson in this with right-wing news outlets, is that if you think they might have done it on purpose, they did.
They did. They did.
Nah, I would actually give the Telegraph the benefit of the doubt that it didn't, because if you read Private Eye's Street of Shame, which is all the background goings-on at newspapers, in Britain what they've done is they've cut every newspaper to three people. Basically,
well, yeah, that's what Gannett does, by the way. They are one of the worst companies in the world. So.
Yeah, these poor bastards are having to just run about Matt. So, I mean, I dare say it was shown to somebody and he went, oh, yeah, sure. I've got 300 pages to write before tomorrow afternoon. So,
exactly.
I dare say there was an element of that in it, but it's just complete and utter madness. Right? There are just certain things that almost you should know by osmosis, isn't there? That you should just have picked up, and that looks a bit like the Nazi emblem. It's like somebody when I was at one of my previous workplaces, we were at a pub quiz, and the question was, "Who's the first man on the moon?" And this girl who I worked with went, oh, I don't know that. I was like, how the fuck can you not know that? And she's like, well, I just don't. That's something you just, you know, that's something you either know or you don't. And I was like, well, everything's either something you know or you don't. But
thank you for clarifying.
This is an impossible thing. Yeah, this is an impossible thing not to know. And she was genuinely taken aback that someone would be surprised that she didn't know who. And I just could, I still can't get, how can you not know who the first man on the moon is?
Well, you know, as a media outlet myself here, I do owe, we didn't really get to much time to explaining what happened over the past year for me. But yeah, I just want to clarify, put any rumors to bed. The truth of the matter is I traded the rights to the Crow Pod for M&Ms again. And
good, you know, good, good. There we go.
That was, so it took me a while to get them back. So, but we're all in, all back, all singing, all fucking everything. Uh-huh. There will be more shows coming back. There's everything coming back. It's all Crow.
To David's point of how does someone not know who first walked on the moon? I have a joke that I do on stage similar to this about the time that I was listening to the radio and they had this contest that was the 5 songs in 30. And so if you they would have a 30-second timer, they would play 5 songs, you would stop the timer as soon as you had a guess as to what the song was. You got it right, you went to the next song, they started the timer again. If you got 5 songs within before 30 seconds ran up, you won the prize.
This sounds incredibly easy, but
right? Yes. Yes, one would think. And then one day Megan comes on and she needs this money. She needs this money. And, you know, because she's in, you're hearing her story. And you're like, oh, my God, Megan, I am all in, sending good vibes. Let's do this. Let's get you winning this. And they said, Megan, are you ready? And when she went, yes. And everyone's going, yes, come on. And then they press play. And for 30 seconds, the Beatles' Yellow Submarine played without one interruption. And no, I'm wrong. She guessed The Who. And it was like, no, it's not The Fucking Who. And then I just blow up on stage like an angry man yelling at a cloud. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, as I say, there are just certain pieces of knowledge that mm-hmm. you should.
That you have to look, I'm not for, like, litmus tests, poll taxes, anything. You know, it's not good. But.
But. Those are But
you should not be allowed in polite society at certain levels without proving, you know, some kind of debilitating condition that you know, you can't really do anything about. Right. Being stupid is a choice. It's one of those, like, we're revisiting that this week on xtwitter.com every single time you sign on. I think, you know, one of the last shows we did last fall was called It Costs Nothing to Shut Up. And people really should remember that more often. You don't have to have an opinion about, you know, some of the worst things going on in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If I don't know enough about a subject, I am not going to blunder in and offer them my wisdom because I don't have. Although, here's what I know, I pick on him, but he deserves it. Colin, our podder, I love him really, folks, right? But a few weeks ago, he says in the chat, and he says this, I saw a trailer for the movie Napoleon. Right?
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer? It looks excellent. Looks amazing.
It does look good, yeah.
Looks, Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix. I'm sure it will be very good.
It's going to be fantastic.
The only, I was discussing it with Martin, and the only concern we have is I thought they might do what they did with Lincoln, which is just take, you know, a very specific chapter of his life, because there's so much, and even though it's a 3-hour movie, they appear to be going from, you know, French Revolution right through to his exile. So I was like, that's a lot to get in that period. Mm-hmm. But Colin comes in and says, is the story of Napoleon interesting? Do you think it'll go 3 hours? And I was like, I like to say I remained calm. Martin, God love him, he remained calm. He says, mate, I think they might just be able to stretch it to...
They might be able to get it in there. I've read like 12 books about Waterloo.
I was like, how can you not know? And his answer will stay with me forever. He said, well, I wasn't born then.
Well,
I wasn't born in 1914, but I know there was a bit of a fight going on in Europe. Right.
So wait. Okay, so I know there's a Josephine. She's in there somewhere.
No, I didn't know there was a Josephine.
If I learned anything from Bill and Ted, there was a water slide or something.
Yeah, there was a water slide.
Yeah, that was called his bed, I think.
Yeah.
Here is an absolutely brilliant fact about Napoleon, right, that I hope they touch on, that gets underplayed because of all the, you know, there are quite, if you're thinking about going to see the movies, folks, there were quite a lot of incidents, right? It will be exciting. He had quite the life. But at one point, he decides, right, Josephine, the love of his life, genuinely was the love of his life. It was a love match. It wasn't one of those old-fashioned marriages. But she can't have a son. And, of course, mm-hmm. he's now setting up a dynasty, so she can't have any more children. She's too old. So he needs to, and he gets himself a Habsburg princess, right? Yeah. But, of course, he is married, so he'll have. They had, I fucking love this, a divorce ceremony in Notre Dame Cathedral, where they literally stood up and read their divorce vows to each other. Not their marriage vows. They had a reverse marriage. I so hope they had a reception.
Tom Selleck tries to sell me those on television every day.
Right.
No, it's so a reverse mortgage. They had a reverse mortgage.
I'm praying that afterwards they had a really awkward reception with a wedding band coming on and saying, "Hi, everybody. We don't usually do this sort of thing. So we're not going to play Happy Together by the Turtles."
They're not starting off with September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
The one good thing would be that the stagette would go into a comedy club and not ruin the show. It would be great.
Which would be a first.
Oh man.
That would be but honestly, a divorce ceremony. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck, and they stood and they'd written their vows, and you know, he was like, "She'll always love Josephine."
Yeah.
But basically, she's too old now, and I need a womb. And that is a quote, by the way. I need a womb. A womb. As an actual
don't
quote,
we all?
He did say that. But he and he married a Habsburg princess because, you know, I suppose it's the equivalent of a Patek Philippe watch or something, you know. Well, I'm the ruler of the whole of France. I should have.
Right.
I marrying a Habsburg princess, I suppose, was the equivalent of buying a Bored Ape NFT at the time. But I'm not entirely
I've got five
sure.
of those. What are they worth now?
You owe me money for owning them, is how much they're worth.
I think they're worth the paper they're printed on, Todd. And, you know,
hey!
Weird. No paper. Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, I love the whole NFT thing. I absolutely adore it.
Yes.
People, how much was it that Justin Timberlake paid for one? Was it $2.3 million? And it now has a value of $4,000.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Magnificent. But the concept is great. I mean, who wouldn't want what it is it's art. Oh, great! So I get the paint. Well, no. what you get is it's actually an image we've created. All right, and I own the rights to the image. No. But you have the right to look at it. All right, can anybody else look at it? Oh yeah, they can download it. Sorry, what? They can download it. Anyone can download it. Right, mm-hmm. but you own the rights to look at it.
Yeah.
But I don't own it. Well, not in the sense of owning it. Anyway, it's $2.3 million. Fucking idiots.
Don't give James Bisgrove any more fucking ideas, David.
We've already had NFTs, but thankfully nobody could understand why they would buy it and didn't.
Oh my god.
You know, we already don't bother with NFTs.
No Rangers.
Some people have too much money. Right.
Yes.
Some people just have too much money.
Right. And some people don't have enough brains to know the difference.
Some people don't know who Neil Armstrong is.
Some people don't know who Neil Armstrong is.
I happen to know he's part of one of my favorite jokes ever, which is, what's the difference between Neil Armstrong and Michael Jackson?
Oh, boy.
One of them walked on the moon. The other one raped little boys.
Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Tenuta. Ladies and gentlemen, the accordion stylings of Judy Tenuta.
Go ahead and play them off, Sam.
fucking Andrew Dice Clay. Andrew Dice Clay has just showed up in the crow pod.
Andrew Dice Clay fucked me out of a spot at the Comedy Store, so he can fuck himself.
Did he?
All right. Settle in. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I showed up in LA and I had booked a set at the Improv, and I was trying to get onto the Comedy Store, and they it was going to be tight because I was coming straight from the airport. And so I was texting with the guy at the Comedy Store, and he was like, "Yep, just get here as soon as you can. We got the spot for you. Don't worry about it." So fine. Well, it isn't. Thank you, Air Canada. My flight was delayed. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. So as soon as I land, I text the guy and I'm like, okay, I just landed. And he's like, get here now. So I grab my bags, run outside, and I hail a taxi. And I say to him, get me to the Comedy Store and don't spare the whip. And he said, don't worry. I used to drive cab in New York City. And holy shit, he did. Holy shit. We were fucking flying. So I just threw tip money at him. And I've got like these huge suitcases. And I roll into the Comedy Store. And I go, hi, I'm Todd. He goes, awesome. That's the last act. I'm like, God damn it. He goes, don't worry. We'll try and get you. There's another show after this one. We should be able to get you onto that one. I went totally fine. Thank you so much. And then this is like 11:30 right now. And as I'm standing there kind of like, you know, finding a place to put my bags and stuff like that, I turn around and I see the back of one of my friend's heads that I didn't know was in L.A. So I went over and I did what every comic would do when they see. And this guy was like a big guy. The guy's name is Aaron Berg. He's like this, you know. He basically looks like Vin Diesel, but he tells jokes. So when you see a guy that looks like Vin Diesel and tells jokes, you do what every other comic would do. You punch him in the back of the head. And so he turns around and goes, what the fuck? And then he sees me and goes, what the fuck? And I go, what the fuck are you doing here? He goes, what the fuck are you doing here? And we did the Spider-Man pointing at himself meme. So that was funny. He's like, okay, I missed my spot. It's like, yeah, we were hoping you'd be there, but stay for the second show. They should be able to get you on. No problem. And so they're looking at the order and I'm looking at the time, and because I've got to get up early for presentations the next day. So I'm like, I got to time this. It's now inching towards midnight. And the guy's like, okay, I can probably get you up on about 10 to 12 acts. And I went, okay, 5 minutes. It puts me up around one. Not ideal, but you know, I get a spot at the Comedy Store. And so we're getting to about the ninth act of the 10. So I'm like, okay, I'm just up in a couple. And then out of nowhere comes Andrew Dice Clay strolling in. And he takes the stage, not able to light a cigarette, still keeps it in his hand. He's got the cutoff gloves. He's got the leather jacket. He's got the exact same jokes that he told us since 1980.
Yeah.
It's not great. And I never liked Andrew Dice Clay before this.
Yeah, he wasn't funny.
And so now I'm just, as he's going and he's doing 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, I'm never getting on stage. It's like 2 a.m. Bye. I'm like, I called it. I just went, I got to get some sleep. I'm sorry. See you later. So that's how Andrew Dice Clay fucked me out of stage time.
Yeah. Fuck him. Correct. There we go.
Yeah. Fuck him.
If it's any consolation, I never found him funny in the first place.
No.
Didn't quite understand it
right
myself. I think it's that sort of very obvious, you know, humor about just didn't do it for me. Plus, anyone who's still wearing that leather jacket at his age,
forget it. Yeah, yes,
you can't unless you are in a heritage rock band, right?
There comes
a point where you have to give away the snakeskin trousers and the huge cowboy boots, the biker jacket, the bandana. Unless you basically, right, unless you are Stevie Van Zandt, unless you're little Stevie, you cannot dress like that anymore. I'm sorry. There is an age limit on dressing like that. At some point, you have to go and get yourself a nice shirt and tie and a little tank top jumper.
Right. That's it. That's there all you go. Need.
Yeah. Fuck Andrew Dice Clay. Cool.
Fuck Andrew Dice Clay.
I think we're at advert time, Shane.
Yeah, fuck it. Might as well. We're getting there. You gotta remember how to do all this shit too. So
people have paid you for it. So yeah, I think
yeah, fuck it. Here, we'll grab the break. We'll come back because we got a bunch of questions. So we might as well get through this bit and then talk more about whatever. And then yeah, we'll not answer your questions before. We just read Onion headlines for the last 20 minutes of the
show. We've got 6 months. We've got 6 months of them again.
Exactly. Woof.
All right, so get ready. All right, coming right back after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, welcome back in to the Crow Pod. Of course, as always, our friends at the famous Graham in all of his excellence. He's given us a lovely scarf to give away this month, along with a bunch of other prize packs, you know, badges and decals and shit like that. All you got to do is support the show. You scroll down in the notes, wherever you're listening to this right now, hit that Buy Me a Coffee link, or you can find it on Twitter or fucking whatever. It's all over. You sign up. And we're giving away shit. I'm getting a hold of, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got so much shit to give away that if you want to order something from the famous and get it by the wife, just blame me. Just blame, because I got to make up legacy supporters, everybody else. We're giving away a bunch of shit over the next month or two, three, whatever the hell it is, coming into the holidays. So fucking order now. And then find one of the shows, not this one right here, not where I'm explaining it to you. Don't do that. Find one of the shows, or just play her the advert at the beginning of the show and be like, see, Shane gave me these six scarves and the lovely tapestry that's hanging on the wall and all this. Look, honey, the Alfredo Morelos stuff was on clearance. I had, you know. Oh, no, wait. Yes. I didn't order that. I don't know how much it costs. Fucking ridiculous.
It was a gift from Shane.
Yes.
Exactly.
Look, everything's a gift from me, isn't it? It's just, that's the kind of man I am. But also, no, our friend Mark Boyd there, recovery and repair massage therapy in East Kilbride. You know, if he's good enough to keep a 40-year-old goalkeeper on the park well past his sell-by date, he's good enough to fucking work on you. So you can go check him out, too. Again, like I said, scroll, Buy Me a Coffee link there in the show notes. If you were already a supporter, I'm doubling all your entries for the next few months.
Hey, lucky old babe.
But in a bunch of, honestly, I went through, I picked out a lot of names yesterday, sent them over to Graham. So if you randomly do, if you do randomly get a package in the post from the famous and have to explain it to your wife, you can use this part of the show right here. Don't use the part before this where I explained to you how to con your wife. Use this part. And now you can't use this part where I'm explaining not to use the part. Yeah. So right. You can figure it out. All right. If you can't, you know, come on. Like a man out there can't talk to his wife. Like that's, that's ever happened.
Well, so, I've got a new segment of the show because we've been away for a while, right? So just before we go into the questions.
Oh, no, we got plenty of more shit before that. So.
Nice and nasty, right? Which is, we pick at something nice and then we pick at something. It's Canadian Thanksgiving, right? So we could, well, it was this weekend.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So we can pick at something that we're keen on, something that we're not so keen on that's happened recently. So my nice thing is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I highly recommend it, that The Replacements album Tim from 1985, I think, has been re-released but properly mixed. If any of you know anything about The Replacements, right? Great 80s US band. But the production was fucking laughable, right? It sounded like it was recorded by a guy with one of those cassette players we had in school. in the next room holding.
To be fair, a lot of it was.
Yeah, I mean, well, this thing sounds like fucking Abbey Road now, right? The guy who's who's remixed this done an incredible. Go and see once we're done the day.
Yeah, I'll go and
just
it.
Listen to Bastards of Young, A Little Miscast. That's my nice thing. Yep. My nasty thing is, my mum was in hospital, right? Which is obviously not very good, but she phoned me. And typical my mum didn't tell me she'd been going for tests or anything like that because she didn't want to worry me, to phone from the hospital instead and say, oh, by the way, I'm going in for a back operation tomorrow on a spine. Now, they don't operate unless they absolutely fucking have to with your spine, right? But yes. Basically, a couple of bits of her spine had worn down so much that they're on the verge of snapping. And obviously, if a bit of your spine snaps, you are fucked.
That's so problematic.
She's had several titanium pins put in place to hold it in place. It went well, by the way, so please don't worry, she's doing very well. Although, again, being my mum, I went to see her, I've been going up to see her, obviously, and I said, how are you doing? You look sore. She went, yeah, I'm a bit sore. I said, well, hold on, we'll get the nurse and get some medication for you. She went, no, I'm not taking any pain meds. Said, why not? She goes, because when the doctor says to me, oh, are you in pain? I'm saying no, so I get home quicker. I was like, right. I said, that's fucking mental.
Yeah. Yes. But
that's really... that generation.
That is that. What is it? Can someone explain this? Okay, I get not knowing who walked on the moon and Beatles. I get that. I get not being about. What is it about that generation that they feel because my parents are fucking mayors of this town where, you know, I will get a phone call. Hey, how is everything? Oh, it's good. It's good. Just got out of the hospital. I have my gallbladder removed. Yeah. What? Yeah, that could have been info I used days ago. How? Yeah. What? So
I don't want to worry you. That's our watchword. But I said to her, I was like, Mom, if they're giving it free morphine and you don't want it, get it for me.
Exactly. Put it in get it in a takeaway bag. Make one of those little foil swans like you get in a fancy restaurant.
I'll take the fucker quite happily. Basically, right, so that's the thing. But then she drops in this cracker. She said, oh, by the way, it's hereditary. I was like, oh, thanks. And she's like, to be fair, a doctor told me that when I was 17, so I've been aware of it.
My gift to you, faulty genes.
I was like, thanks very much, Mom. But the thing about it is, see when a doctor tells you when you're 17, look, you've got this degenerative condition, it'll get worse over the years. Over the years seems a long, long way away. When you're 45, it seems a lot more fucking imminent.
Exactly. Yes.
Changes your thought process somewhat. So that's mine. So tell me something nice that you're happy about at the moment, guys, and also something that you're unhappy about.
The crow pod's back, and the crow pod's back.
Very nice.
Yes. I will take all of those.
That would be the listeners, please and surely.
Really? Let's ask after.
You know, there's something. I mean, it's not as personal as yours, but there's amidst all the bad news in the world, every once in a while you see something, you go, oh, that should be okay for people. That sounds good. And of course, you know, we get our monthly jobs report over here in the U.S. It's a big deal usually, right. And we added another like 340,000 new jobs last month, which. Yeah, I'm sorry. That good. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the problem though is that, of course, the Federal Reserve and all the rich people don't like that because it's driving up wages, which cuts into their profits. Because you know they're not making enough money. So to highlight this, there's an account. If you guys know, it's a New York Times pitch bot account. I think we've talked about it before. But anybody looking for it, just look on Twitter. New York Times pitch bot. It's a parody account of, people pitching stories and ideas to the New York Times. And he came up with one and said, I've never been a Trump supporter, but if Biden is unable to keep the economy from creating 300,000 jobs each month, I will have no choice but to vote for him again.
Exactly.
I do think it's a little bit cruel. By the way, that you're making Joe Biden go again.
I'm not making him do it.
Is he actually real or is it a waxwork? Because if I go to Madame Tussauds and he's not there, then my suspicions are going to be confirmed. Frankly. He is old.
Well, David, though, on the plus side with that, Dianne Feinstein finally died. So we don't have like a geriatric fuckwit on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
$220 million, but she didn't do insider trading.
No,
$220 million on a senator salary, but she didn't do insider trading. By the way, see anybody else? That would be a fucking RICO case being opened up, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yep. It's funny, you know, hey, when you make the laws.
Yeah.
It's a good racket if you can get it. That's why none of them ever leave it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It really fucking, I mean, just genuinely, you're sort of like, hold on, right. I mean, keep it realistic. You know what I mean? Keep it to like 5 or 6 million, not 220. Nobody's going to buy that shit. But as Shane said, nobody cares. So does it matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dad, you got one?
Well, yeah, I would say the Crow Pod being back.
Hey.
You know, it's not because I missed you guys. It was nice kind of coming back.
It's not my fault we qualified for the Champions League last year and it fucked up our whole recording schedule.
I know.
Right.
I
so
know,
that's I know, blame I know. That. Not my fault.
Well,
none of this is my fault.
That's done. I would say this as well. I got to see like a lot of really cool gigs in the past little while. I took my wife.
It was an evil one. It looked amazing. It looked like more than just a gig, was it?
So no. Okay, so to be clear, for those of you who saw my Instagram or Facebook, whatever it was, that was not Devo. Actually, what I went to, and you guys will either love this or berate me hugely. Doesn't matter. I'm more than happy with my life decisions. I went to Cleveland for something called Devotional, which is a Devo fan convention over 2 nights, and they bring in bands that either do complete covers of Devo themselves, or they do their original material and will float in some covers. Okay. So we got some punk bands, some new wave bands, you know, like a theremin made its presence known. It was nice. But that band, that was the first one that they did. And they did the entire Freedom of Choice album beginning to end. And it was just beautiful. They had guys that were doing, they did some stuff from Hardcore Devo, which even the original Hardcore Devo is at best challenging and at worst unlistenable, and they did it. They did an amazing job. So it was great hanging out with people wearing energy domes and dressing up, and they were all Devo cosplay. It was fantastic.
I have questions. Right?
Sure you do.
Firstly, surely the bands didn't go up there and sing "We Are Devo" because they quite clearly weren't. And secondly, are Devo so big that they couldn't fucking show up to this? Right? I mean, I would have thought, you know, without being nasty, that they could have all got a couple of days off from Burger King and fucking showed up.
Right. So to answer your questions, first one
in order, please. Yes.
In order. No, in fact, no one did actually. No. Did anyone do Jocko Homo? I don't think they did, but it reminded me that there was, one of the best concerts I ever saw in my life was a Devo cover band in Toronto that were called "Are We Not Devo? We Are Not." And there's another one speaking of great, I think there's one in the UK called "We Are Not Devo." Quite simple.
There was an excellent Talking Heads tribute in Knoxville called the name of the band is not Talking Heads. It was just like,
brilliant.
Oh, okay. Because there is one showing up in Cleveland at this venue, the Beachland Ballroom. If anyone's interested, it's a lovely venue. They actually have a Talking Heads tribute band coming in called Start Making Sense.
There's an REM one that I think is just based in Georgia called Michael Stipe, Despite the Hype, We'd Like to Suck on Your Big Pipe. Which I think you have to agree.
Beautiful.
It's so fucking ridiculous you would go and see them.
Right. So the there's also an all-female Devo cover band simply called We Are Not Men.
Yeah.
Which is like Ramonas. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we might have heard Giacomo once. We heard Whip It once and only once.
What?
Because everyone else was doing deep tracks. It's like, you know, Whip It is what you play for your mom, right? Or for a girlfriend. It's like, oh, this is your band? Yeah, you'll know this. And then that's, you go, oh, yeah. Them. Right? Yeah. That's the response. Oh, them. Did Devo show up? Members of the original, and by the way, there's only like three original members now. Gerald and Mark showed up apparently last year. But now I think they're just very selectively touring because I hate to say this, they're kind of old.
Yeah, happens to the best of us, mate.
Yeah.
Happens to the best of us.
Yep.
Man, I saw the idea of a tribute, sorry Shane, go on.
Fuck off.
No, our timing's all off.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well,
It's gonna take a while. It's like when you've been away from your wife a little bit and the sex doesn't quite work. It's like, okay, oh, that goes there now. I see. I forgot you don't like that.
That only happens when you've been away for a
while. Yeah. When I say away, I mean like, you know, in the same room for 6 to 12 months.
our timing is slightly fucked, but that's because the rehearsal went well, so we knew.
Right, exactly. Yes.
We were fucked. But go on, Shane. My point was very, very. No.
I was gonna say I saw a very good show. This guy cut his debut album this year, and he's pretty young, but you know. From Jacksonville, he came up. His dad was a musician, worked with Petty and all them. Mm-hmm. Is Dyer Davis? Go look him up. I try to promo shit that's good, but Dyer, like Dyer Davis, he's a blues guy. He's got a big ginger beard, shaved head. He played Mary's Place here. So last time Bunny Carlos did his set, he came on and played like two songs after Bunny was done. And they were like, "Well, they're touring, and they had like two extra days between stops, so they just booked them a show here, and it was 2.5 hours of just blues rock and fantastic shit. His album's very good. Go buy it. I didn't even get paid for this one. He's just good."
I'm glad you reminded me. Actually, I'm going to do a bit of a kind of charity show. Just I know a lot of our listeners as well are big music fans. You guys know Jesse Malin? You'd like him. He's kind of, you know, that's but basically he came through about the same time as Ryan Adams, and they were friends.
Okay,
Ryan Adams obviously got all the attention, but Jesse Malin's like the non Sex Pest version.
That's a plus.
And he's
that is albums, a plus.
His albums are great. New York guy. I've seen him several times. He's a great guy. He suffered a spinal stroke earlier this year.
Fuck.
And you know, he's obviously got huge medical bills as he tries to walk again. So if you're a fan and you want to contribute a couple of bucks, just look up Jesse Malin GoFundMe to help with his medical bills, because he's a wonderful musician, great touring guy, and of course being a touring musician who hasn't, you know, had any hits, obviously if he can't tour, which he can't at the moment, his income is terribly affected. So if you're a fan, if you bought any of his records and you want to contribute, then just go look it up.
Let's do the questions, we got quite a few. It makes it easier for us to get back into the swing, as it were. Thankfully we avoid Rangers for most of the show because everybody's kind of got one question or another. Let's see. Where do we start? Oh, you know, I got about six versions of this, but we'll go with MFP Loyal wants to know. He's one question regarding Rangers. What the fuck?
I I think he's nailed it there.
Oh, by the way, that was the thing that I hated. You asked me the two-part question. It's like, what's the thing that you're not happy with right now? It's like, I would say it's Rangers.
You guys know me, right? I'm quite optimistic about Rangers, and I'm upbeat, and I enjoy the bad performances. Yeah. But I tend to kind of the next day go right, refocus, and you know, because you can't change it. Once it's done, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need to pick yourself up and go again. Aris Limassol was the one that broke me, because I can handle, believe it or not, I can just about handle getting beat. I can't handle not trying. I can't handle hiding.
Yeah, exactly.
And against Aberdeen, they played really badly, right? That was what happened. But against Aris Limassol, you had the goalkeeper and you had the number 11 on the last name on the team sheet, Abdallah Seema, and they were the only guys that actually stood up and went, no, hang on a minute here, we're getting paid to be a footballer, I'm going to go out and do my very best.
Seven tackles in 90 minutes?
The other night,
and it was, your footballers seem to think that we can't see when they're hiding, you know, because, oh, I'm running about.
It's hard to miss Connor Goldson, he's about 6'3", so yeah. Right. I can see him hiding pretty fucking easily.
If you don't want the ball, if you don't try to lose your marker, if you don't run over at a throw-in to try and get possession, if you're up front and you aren't moving to try and get space, we can see that. We're not fucking idiots. Yeah. And that was the one that just crossed the line for me. And that was the one where I went, no.
I will say, you know, the goals is benefit and matter of consistency and getting, you know, like Kropad back in the flow and everything else. I would like to thank him for still holding on to blaming his defensive partner when he doesn't pick up a runner.
Yes.
We're like 5-6 years into this project with him, right? Whatever the fuck it is. And you know, he's still, I mean, he's there every time it happens.
Did you guys get the thing that was kicking about? I'll just read it to, I'm sure a lot of the listeners will have got it, but I'll just read this to you. This came out, you know, that in the sense of if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Right.
Yeah. This one, I think, falls into it. It was, Rangers have been delayed at the airport in Limassol for the following reasons. Cyril Dessers kept going over the line that you're not allowed to cross at reception, despite it being explained to him several times that you're not allowed to do that. Borna Barisic was scheduled to be on time, but he kept turning back into the airport and therefore couldn't make it. Connor Goldson had some liquids in his bag, and when they were discovered, immediately turned round and shouted at the other members of the team, blaming them for his mistake. And, you know, it was so true. And I think part of it is rage against the dying of the light. I think there are guys in that team who are past it, you know, who just don't have it. And I think part of that is that frustration of, I'm asking my body to do things that I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Easy, and they're not happening now.
It's when you listen to Martin's podcast when he's talking about dominance. It's like, that's the entire story arc of Graham Souness, you know, through that entire series. Right?
Thankfully, you know, going back to past shows and old content, at least John Bennett, thank God, clarified that we've had a player trading model in place since January 2022, so it shouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, moving on some of the saleable assets before their contracts run out, and maybe replacing the players who are getting a little bit beyond their years. You know, I think a well-managed, well-run club such as ours, I can't see any issues around that.
Get whoever the new manager is. Just being up front, I've said this before. I would look at that dressing room and say, okay, does this have the character to go and win things for me?
Right.
I don't think it does, personally. And I think the problem that Beal had is that he couldn't get it in his head. It wasn't 2020 anymore.
Yeah.
He just could not get that. So when he came in, he's like, no, I'll get Kent and Kamara and Morelos all playing well again. Didn't. Then he's relying on guys like Tavernier, Goldson, who were, you know, let's not rewrite history. There's been times they've been absolutely amazing, but they're not 100%. The footballers they were.
Yep.
So a new manager needs to come in and say, hang on a minute here. You know, these guys can't do what I need them to do. And if I don't get people doing what I need them to do, I get the sack. Mm-hmm. So there's decisions to be made. And you guys would agree with me on this, I'm sure. When you're just in the door, that's when you've got the most power to make mm-hmm. those decisions. So yeah. Be brave, whoever it is, be brave.
Yeah. Yep.
Degenerate 69 wants to know if Cyril Dessers was on the grassy knoll, then what age would JFK be?
Well, okay, so now we figured out that he works for the CIA. I did not know that Dessers did that. Okay.
He's a all cancer right. man.
Yeah.
He's going to give me fucking cancer, all the goddamn cigarettes.
Yeah.
And watch yeah. I see his fucking waster.
I see old JFK's nephews running independently.
Fuck him. Mm-hmm. His dad mm-hmm. would bury him under the polling place quite happily. Right. I mean, yeah, and of course, the whole family came. Like, the only one who didn't sign it was Ethel. And I was almost shocked. They're like, don't vote for this fucking lunatic. Our brother's right. insane.
Like, right now.
If you guys haven't been paying right attention, now. Our brother is fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right now, there is a retired couple and lying in bed, and the phone rings beside the husband, who's probably now 80 or 90, and he goes, yes, okay. And he hangs up the phone because it's a bedside phone, and these people are old, so they yeah. obviously have that.
Well, they probably sleep in separate beds.
He rolls over. Exactly. And they push them together for, you know, yeah. one time, you know, twice a year, birthdays and an anniversary. And he goes, just looks at his wife and goes, I got the call again. And...
like, see if the Secret Service, you know, to lose one Kennedy is carelessness. To lose, mm-hmm. but how many would this be now? Like 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, you know, a friend of mine was asking, you know, maybe it's time to start knocking them off again. And I was like, no, they're pretty good at doing that themselves these days.
Yeah.
What was it that the junior one died of?
Trying to fly when he wasn't qualified to fly in weather like that.
But there was right. another one that they had invented a game that when they were skiing downhill, they would throw a football to each other yeah. and they had to catch it. And he didn't catch it and lost his balance and tumbled down the hill and died, breaking his neck.
Yeah.
And I mean, if my family was that unlucky, I wouldn't be skiing in the first place. Never no. mind adding in the element of danger that is trying to catch a ball while you're doing it.
Yes, exactly.
Because we know that can easily hit you in the nuts.
Exactly.
Loudrip Sarah wants to know which one has completed more rotations, Jupiter around the sun or Lammers on the ball near the box?
He's got this amazing ability to beat a man 3 times and still not get past him.
Yeah, exactly. It is pretty fucking yeah. incredible. It's almost like, you know, like watching somebody play a very young kid at like FIFA, you know, and it's like, yeah. I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm not going to do anything productive with the ball, but I got to do something to entertain myself while this is going on here. Like, good Lord.
No, it's like when my nephew plays me at FIFA and he's getting the ball and all these passes.
Yeah, maybe I use that analogy backwards.
Yeah, and I get the ball and I just turn around in a circle several times and then I try to pass it and it ends up out for a throw-in and he goes and scores another goal. It's kind of like that. As somebody said, he'd be the guy at fives who's absolutely brilliant and you think, God, I wonder why that guy never got a, you know, never did well at proper football, and then you see him in 11s game and you go,
yeah.
You know, along those lines, did you see part of the proposed sporting lineup for the 2028 Summer Olympics here in Los Angeles includes flag football?
What?
And for any listener who's flag not football. Familiar somehow with what flag football is, understandable, it's American football, but instead of tackle, you wear some little flags on a belt around your waist, you know, and they have to pull those in order to get you down. Flag football. and all I want, I really, look, I want us to do the American exceptionalism thing that we do, you know, like with the Dream Team in 92. Like, not only did we invent the sport, we're going to send the fucking 13 best motherfuckers over here in the world. Play you in that. I want NFL guys on this roster, like just fucking dropping passes on like a French part-time filmmaker who's smoking 20 cigarettes over on the sideline the whole time. Like, just, if we're going to do this, fucking do it right.
Yeah.
I don't blame the Americans. They're obviously going, right, we need to be number one in the medal.
Yeah. Table. Oh, no, that's why. Yeah, no, we added baseball and softball back to it, too. Although baseball is not 100% anymore. I mean, that's.
No, I mean, Japan and stuff. But no, you're doing that. And, you know, at the LA Olympics, you'll get drive-by shooting.
Yeah.
Will be added to the mix. Yeah. Burger eating. And whining in a queue at Disneyland about the queue that you have paid money to go and join.
Yeah.
We'll be they're adding cricket, which is going to be a...
Yeah, it's a T20, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
T20 cricket. It should be, I don't know, it'd be interesting. I think it'd be cool.
It should be. Oh, but given that there are only about fucking 10 nations at play, you can rattle through it quite quickly.
Yeah, but again, we're bringing back baseball.
Right.
Which, you know, I think my only thing with the baseball thing, I don't mind this, and I think it's something that they should look at with every Olympics, is bringing a sport specifically for that edition of the Olympics that's, you know, that country's sport. You know, like having baseball in America is fine. Right. We don't have to build infrastructure for it. You know, like Greece found out, baseball stadiums are very big and you can't do anything else with them. So that's why they got rid of baseball. But we're hosting it. So why the fuck not? Just do it.
Exactly. Here's a quick trivia question that I heard today. Speaking of the Olympics, what childhood activity was an Olympic event between the years 1900 and 1920?
I don't know, like tag or what?
Tag? That was my guess.
Yeah.
Cup and ball?
Cup and ball? Nope. Tug of war.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I can actually see that. I don't think that's that ridiculous.
No,
I
mean, it got relegated to the Highland Games pretty quick. That was pretty bad. Yeah. No.
Well, and I mean, also WWF Superstars on Saturday.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The best one, yes, absolutely.
Squid Game, that was also, you know, it's a big one there. That's
Takeshi's Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can kind of see that. I was going to say at first masturbating, because that's quite a teenage activity that a lot of kids, can you imagine them queuing up for that one? I mean, how would you decide it? Is it
volume? Do you go distance or length of time or
volume, recovery time? I mean, it's all. Yeah. But I just love all these one-armed teenagers arriving in LA for the, you know, one massive forearm and the other one all withered and shaking. But it's actually quite nostalgic, Shane, because I remember, I'm sure you did, 84 Olympics.
Well, no, because I was... You know, born in 1984.
Well,
right. But I am familiar with the 1984 Olympics. Yes,
they were very good. They were very, very cool.
Russia wasn't there. It was great.
Russia wasn't there, as they probably won't be.
They won't be in 2028 either. No.
They're doing this. I see they're doing this thing as well. They've announced the Euros are going to be held in the UK, and it is the UK. There's going to be like 20 matches in England, 6 in Scotland, 6 in Wales, 5 in Northern Ireland, and it's like, why the fuck do you keep doing that? And the World Cup in 2030 is going to be held in 3 countries.
Oh, that is fucking like, nightmare.
Guys, that just pick ridiculous. A fucking country that people can just go to and watch the football. That was the part of the joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was part of you would go to, say, Germany, 2006, right? I went for a bit to that. You go along and you sample some of the, you know, the things that country has to offer. And you get to know maybe a wee bit of the culture. That was part of it. But now it's like, right, you get on a plane here and it'll take you to there. And then you've got a 2-day layover before you fucking go there. I mean, it's just nuts.
Well, and the other thing, too, you know, just like with baseball at the Olympics, there's only a handful, dozen countries in the world that should ever host these events. They shouldn't, you know, you don't need to do this like all-inclusive shit, because they're incredibly expensive to put on, and you should really maybe not hamstring countries' economies for decades, forcing them to build, you know, billions of dollars in infrastructure.
Yeah, what wasn't it like Mexico 86 at the World Cup, and they ended up in something like 400?
They moved to Colombia, or no, yeah. it was Colombia. Yeah, yeah. They moved it to Mexico. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. But the whole reason it's three continents that FIFA are saying, oh, it's because it's the 100th anniversary. It's not. It's because then you can say, oh, these three continents all had their shot. We're giving it to Saudi Arabia in 2034. Uh-huh. Qatar had it in 2022. So don't fucking lie. We know.
Exactly. And by the way, we know that truck reversing is just filled with money for you. Okay. Beep, beep, beep.
Hey, what do you think those brown, you know, like sacks with dollar signs on them are over
exactly.
there? You think those got a bunch of dollars in them?
I always see the Infantino doing the whole Mayor Quimby thing.
Right.
Mayor Quimby says, thank you for this donation, Fat Tony, but next time I'd prepare it to be in a plain brown envelope rather than in a bag with a cat dollar sign.
It's Pele doing a wax paper commercial.
It's exactly that, you know, but they're going to turn around, even though it's like South America's turn or whatever, and they'll say, but you know, you had it. And it's like, no, we had four games of it the last time. But that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, man. Mark wants to know, without injuries at Rangers, should we just convert Edmonton House into a hospital? I think the cost overruns probably would have been less had we tried to build a hospital.
Edmonton House is the one thing we have spent money on in the last 3 years that is actually performing. So it probably
that is true.
Edmonton House is the one thing. Not, you know, the players, no. But Edmonton House is actually working, so I don't want to. Here, interestingly, serious point for a moment. There's actually a record number of injuries in England, Spain, Germany, France at the moment. Italy as well, and I'm sure in smaller leagues. But they're playing too many games. Nobody wants to hear it. Certainly not the people who organize football. But
they had a fucking World Cup in the middle of the season.
And then they have international friendlies in the summer.
Yes!
Let these poor fuckers get a couple of months off.
Well, and now, I mean, you know, the ESA and whatever, instead of the Super League, which, great idea, they're doing whatever, this massive three-tiered Champions League fucking thing. I mean, they're gonna end up playing like 110 games a year.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like we saw what happened to Davey Weir in 2008 after what, like the 61st game was one too much. You know, I mean, that was that was it.
I mean, I know that the counter argument, and I get it, is that people say, oh, well, they're getting paid enough money, and I do get that, but it's money doesn't, the fact you're well paid will not stop your hamstring from popping.
Well, exactly. And it also devalues the entertainment of it. If they're not able, again, Aiden Hazard, right, people won't pay him, but also his body is pretty much fucked at 32.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's
Tav.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tav.
I don't think it's with Tav, it's not age, it's miles on the clock.
Yeah.
And he's played so much football. But, that, you know, as you said, one of the reasons Harry Kane was open about it going to Germany, he's like, they don't play as many games. I'll play probably 15 games less than I would do in a normal English season. Yep. And therefore, you know, I'll extend my career. Because think about it, you do it over, 2 years? And then in England, they've got this ridiculous injury time at the moment. So they're playing like another 20 minutes most weeks.
Yeah.
This is fucking ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. Ross wants to know what's best in class about CrowPod.
Well, we're the best CrowPod there is.
That's true.
Yes.
Yep.
I've seen like two others, and I don't care for them.
Yeah, undeniably. Well, look. Let's look at what you get. I said to the guys the other night. Actually, we were listing on the show. You've got Todd, and Todd is funny.
Yeah.
Right. On the show, you've got Shane and his lovable injury list.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've got me, and I'm adorable. So there you go. I mean, we are the best power trio, I would say, since Nirvana.
Sure. Yep.
Hopefully, with a better outcome toward the.
Yeah. Fuck. We
no,
all want to be
nobody
David
hang
Allen,
out with
we?
Courtney exactly. Love. Don't right. hang
oh,
out
no, I'm
with
out.
Courtney Love.
I'm out. I am out.
Did you ever hear Noel Gallagher's line about Nirvana?
No. I'm sure it's respectful and great.
It was. He said, you know, I didn't get that. The whole, I hate myself and I want to die. And the interviewer said, well, you know, there's a lot going on. He said, well, from my point of view, when I was sitting in a council house in Manchester, he said, I was going, well, you're the biggest band in the world. I want that. You're the most respected band in the world. I want that. You play to thousands of people. I want that. You've got Courtney Love. Okay, you can keep that.
That's, you know what? I've never respected him more. I have never. Between her and Drew Barrymore, I'm pretty done.
Oh, she's, I mean, scab. Man. Scab.
Scab. Yeah. Here's the thing. My thing, I have hated her ever since E.T., for fuck's sakes.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was in the first Scream movie, I was like, this is the first movie I've only rewound the first 10 minutes to watch. How does the rest of it end? I have no idea.
Don't care. What a bump to. See, on that, actually, it's quite a funny thing. A guy, and it went viral on Twitter, a guy saying, you know, oh, if you use the term scab for people breaking a strike, then, you know, it's a lack of intellect. And
no, because that's what they're called. That's the term for it.
If you want to scab, by all means, go and scab. But you are scabbing. You know, that's... I personally, I've never crossed a picket line.
Neither have I.
If you know, of course not, right? I mean, I'm in a trade union, I've always been a trade union. And I 100% accept that as soon as I am a billionaire, I will change my fucking opinion on that. Right? But as a worker, no, right? But
I'm going to talk to Cammy and see if he can get them all to start signing cards over there. We'll see how quick Cardi Man takes this.
Drew Barrymore is a scab. That's what she wants. Well, she's even worse. She's an unsuccessful scab. She couldn't even go through with it.
I know. And now no one wants to work with her, and it's lovely. Yeah.
Yes. If only people break could have seen,
stupid daft cunt. Fuck you.
If only people could have seen the potential outcomes to this. Wait, you know, fucking Ray Charles, who's both blind and dead, saw the outcome.
Last one, Barlock 76 wants to know, Shane, Spy, with my history of injuries, could the Rangers medical team use me as a case study to make players recover quicker?
There's a point to that.
It would mean throwing out their operation game.
I'm wondering, is the medical, is that just Pip Yates in a costume in there right now? Is that what's going on?
They've got what Mark Waller back. Yeah. So it's just. Right, but then again, you know. I will never be shifted, and this is not a Rangers thing. This is all clubs who are not doing as well as they should be. They tend to get a lot of injuries, and I'm not sure what's the chicken and what the egg is.
Yeah, it was strange that, you know, right when Beal left, all of a sudden Roof was available for selection again. That was
interesting.
The reason I think this, by the way, is 2001. When they all fucking hated Advocaat, the team went off the rails, and they all suddenly got injured. And then as soon as Ek came in, they were all suddenly fit. I just, you know, and maybe that has coloured my opinion. But it happens at other clubs, doesn't it, as well? You know, when they're not doing well and the fans are critical. Oh, my leg, arg.
Give it to you. Want to talk about case study in that? Just wait till Birmingham actually hire Rooney. And I think the line to that training room might be fucking all the way around the stadium.
I think it's official now, mate. I think they've done it.
That's fucking crazy. I mean, he's been bad at two jobs. Every single one of his players in DC fucking hated him. He's in. Right. He's out of the playoffs in a league that you almost can't not make the playoffs in MLS.
Right.
It's bad. Very bad.
Well, the other thing about it is that the fella at Birmingham, they were odds on to be relegated, and not only did he save them from that, he got them into the top half, and they're currently sitting sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth is not bad in that.
I thought John was doing a decent job. Plus, I didn't need him getting sacked right now because all it did was add that fucking pizza god. Uh-huh. I thought when Scott Parker's name popped up, thanks, Soonest, by the way, I thought when his name fucking popped up that was bad enough, but fuck me.
Well, this is what I love about a fan base, right? And I get that everyone's pissed off, but no football men are involved in their decision making. That's terrible. So they ask Souness, and Souness says Scott Parker, and they go, "What are they asking fucking Souness for? That's what they should be making
right,
the decision."
Right.
But no, I must admit, see, of the candidates that it seems to be down to, and by the time people listen to this, it may be over, I don't know. But Clement, Muscat, Glasner, Janssen, none of them exactly get me erect, but equally none of them make me want to claw my eyes out.
Right.
And I think that's probably about as much as you could get at the moment. I think another Nirvana reference, I think whoever gets it, my attitude will be, okay, here we are now, entertain us and just sit and watch.
I want to say expectations. My expectations are still very high, much higher than anything that the club is currently putting out for us. My goal, I guess, would be to let's get through the end of next season with the same guy still in charge.
Yeah,
if we can do that.
That's a fucking sad goal.
Yep.
You know, so long as it isn't Lampard, I'm fine.
Well, yeah. it's without diving down too much here right at the end, don't worry, we're about to do Onion headlines, so it's going to get good again.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is 56 for them is very much on the brink, and that is wholly unacceptable on any level. And relying on blaming 2012 for why this, there's just that whole era still that, like, we're still recovering from that. Again, John Bennett in an interview last year, which he hasn't talked to us since he's been the chairman yet, right? I mean, I don't think that's going to happen because of how bad this interview was at the time. We had two record player sales and made a European final. And so, it's like, God, the money, oh, God, it's bad. Onion!
Actually, Shane, before you get to that, I just want to say thank you. You reminded me to go and play the Euro Millions.
Nobody won the Powerball last night. It's up to like $1.62 billion. When I win, I am buying Rangers. I will have nothing to do with the operations of the club. I will hire all the best people in the world, put like $900 million into it, and just sit back and we can win shit. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's happening.
I've just entered Euro Millions, and if it wins, like Shane, I will give the club money to go and buy players. I don't want a seat on the board.
Nope.
I'm not coming to meetings.
Nope.
Just spend. I do want you to ask me who. I do want you to tell me who you're about to spend my money on, so I can say yes or no. But after that, it's down to you. But yes, so thank you for reminding me. I've just bought a ticket.
I have an announcement. I actually won the lottery here in Canada. I walked away with a free ticket.
Ooh.
So that's just another week of hope is what that is.
A lucky
hope's not good. Here. Hope. You should never have hope.
It's a hope that kills you.
Fuck.
who was the comedian? Like, I don't, was that Norm? I don't care what Obama says. Hope's not good.
Right.
Yeah. The audacity of hope. Fuck off. The audacity of hope. Yeah. A lot of pish that is. Did you see the new Frasier? I don't know if you've.
I have not watched it, but I mean, Niles isn't in it. John Mahoney's dead.
None of them are
dead.
Yeah. Right. I know you guys didn't like Friends, right? But it was a very successful show, right? And they clearly got the casting right. Then for the spin-off, they took Joey. Fair enough. And they completely ballsed up who to put round them. Didn't work. None of it made any sense. Didn't work at all.
Right.
I have my suspicions they've done that. Also, forgetting about what a character does. Like, at one point, there's a joke about he can't understand why people in the bar he's in are pronouncing it Boston Celtics when it should be Boston Celtic. Now, how the fuck does he not know sports when his best friend was Sam Malone?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't, I might toss it on and one, but I can see myself being incredibly disappointed. And also, there might be an element, as you're saying, to the cast of people really don't want to work with Kelsey Grammer anymore.
No.
So
no.
Yeah, getting the right kind of talent around him may have been a challenge. They've got a British
sitcom icon Nicholas Lindhorst, who was in Only Fools and Horses, which is right. probably the most popular sitcom in the UK of all time. And you know, I could kind of see that working. But like, another thing they've done is that his son Freddie is now, like, he's a fireman, you know, he's a total blue collar guy, and clearly mm-hmm. they're trying to recreate him as Marty, you know, that dynamic,
right?
Right. But you remember what Frederick was like in the series as a kid?
Yeah.
He was a total nerd. It's unbelievable. The reason you're bringing this back, right, is that it's a famous IP. Okay.
Yeah.
We get that, right? Well, then if you're doing that because you think, well, they love this character and therefore they watch it, respect that character. So, mm-hmm. for instance, he doesn't like sports. Well, he clearly. You know, he clearly would fucking know who the Boston Celtics are. he was at fucking Cheers for what, 10 years. He would know who the Boston Celtics are.
Yes.
Respect the character. You know, Frederick grew up very much, to Martin's annoyance, to like 12 or 13, to be, you know. So even if you say he wants to rebel against that, you should still have at heart that he's this character, because it's too big a jump. And to me, it's kind of like, you make up your mind, guys. If you're bringing it back because you think people love the character, respect that character. Don't give us a shit and try and make us pretend, because straight away it took me out of it. I was like, but also, you know, I think they've got very weak characters around them. And the thing about original Frasier was they nailed it. Mm-hmm. They nailed every bit of casting.
Yeah. In some cases, it eclipsed the original. You know.
There was a tweet the other day. It was like, you know, this guy's your Sam. It's like, this guy's your bartender at 1 a.m. What are you asking him? And a friend of mine is like, what kind of fucking pour is that? None of them could pour a beer. None of them could pour a beer.
No, very fair.
Yeah. That is very fair. They were terrible bar staff.
Oh no, they were all no. I would never drink at that bar. Onion shit. I don't know. They've been rolling out some good ones this week, but they have been. I'll kick mine off with, man feels like bystanders are arguing for him to put gun down in bad faith.
Beautiful.
I will go with sweaty man walked here.
Shane's is Delta agent calls for dipshit passengers to mill around in front of the gate before they're turned aboard. But I would like to bring two from Reductress, because these are just fucking fantastic. How I saved hundreds on exfoliants by fucking hairy guys. And this one just made tears roll down my face. Why I'm glad Lauren Boebert was at that Beetlejuice performance, because no one noticed me taking a shit in the aisle.
The Onion had a good one about Lauren Boebert offers to personally jerk off anyone offended by her comment.
Form an orderly queue behind me.
The last line in it said, Boebert, at print time, Boebert had announced plans for the handjob line to be put in place, and announced to bystanders she planned to be vaping the whole time.
Gorgeous.
Oh man! Jared Leto asks if he ever going to get in trouble for that stuff he's been doing.
a little bit of more oxygen to Lauren Boebert here. I have rebranded my podcast. I'll get this out of the way. It's now called Okay, So Here's One, a podcast celebrating street jokes. For those of you who went, oh, Comedy Bowl of the Pub was cool, don't worry, it's exactly the same, except now I put the guest on the hook to tell a street joke, and people can email in street jokes, and they've been doing that. And my friend Matt Davis, who is one of my favorite people of all time, not just comics or people from Alabama, he is the Venn diagram circle of all that. his joke was this guy walks into a bar and sees on the chalkboard behind the bar, cheeseburgers, $2, hand jobs, $1. Yes. And there's a beautiful woman behind the bar. And he goes, are you the woman that gives the hand jobs? And she goes, why, yes, I am. And he goes, cool. Wash your fucking hands and get me a cheeseburger then.
That one has been in my wheelhouse for years. I've held mm-hmm. that one. Oh, yeah. I want to do.
That speaks to every single fucking middle aged man, doesn't it? That we're all like, yeah, oh, yeah. I know yeah. I would want to. Yeah. Yeah.
Just one last public service announcement here. If you're anybody watching ESPN, it started this weekend and it will continue this week. I know like ESPN UK does football now, but also if you're watching like American football this weekend or anything, you're like, why is my TV fucking up? There's mm-hmm. 1 week of the year that this happens every year, and it's happened 4 years. But Disney's satellite will be like directly in line with the sun for about six or 7 days, and yeah, yep. you're broad. It's not your TV, just so you know.
That's amazing.
Don't get mad at the internet. It's none of that. Like even my, you know, come on, my internet, right? Even I know it's nope. It's just that the ESPN satellite. Like it's been every year for the past 20 years.
That is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I fucking love that.
Yeah. Now, every year, right around this time, you mm-hmm. get 1 week of, is my ESPN actually going to work? So,
yeah.
Oh, that'll do it. Again, bunch of stuff from the famous. Like I said, I picked out like four or five names last night. I'm already sending stuff out to. So if you get random shit from Graham, you won. So there you go. If you would like to win, scroll down, buy me a coffee link in the show notes. Help us. It's like even as little as $3 you can do it for. We can sign up monthly shit. We give away stuff every month. If you want to sponsor the show, there's details about that in there too. So you can help out. And that is it. David, of course, you find on everything Heart and well, not everything Heart and Hand, but you know.
No, Jesus, no.
I mean
no,
your name's on it for better or worse.
My name's on it, so, yeah, but no, I have minions for yeah, that sort of thing. You fight,
see, I got to work on that part. Shows. I got to work on that part. I'm going to do this for real this time, I got to find somebody I can just pass shit off to.
You need, absolutely. You need bitches.
Yeah.
It's, it makes your life so
bitches
much
and hoes, man. Bitches and hoes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm only 50% of the way there in that regard, but it makes life so much easier to just pass stuff on. And then when there's anything fun or important, to just swing in and say, I think I'll take this, guys. You know, like when old Gil thinks he's got a sale in The Simpsons?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of like what I do. I'll take it from here, boys.
Todd, of course, on Twitter, ex-Twitter, and whatever. Hey, it's TVA. Find this stuff. Yeah. Hey, it's TVA.com. Go check out the new show. Go buy his record. I know it's not Bandcamp Friday anymore, but fuck it. You can still buy Todd's record. Give him 3 pennies or whatever
there
the fuck
you
go. It is.
One. If you stream it on Spotify, I will gladly take your tenth of a penny. Thank you so much.
See?
So, yeah.
Be good people. There you go.
Yes.
We'll be back next week. And again, there's going to be, you know, like more Crow Pod show. I'm phasing everything back in. I'm still, again, somebody find Peter Ewart. He's somewhere in the Middle East. That's all I know. I forget which one. And that, man, that was a mildly xenophobic way to end the show. But he's over there somewhere. So someone tell him to fucking email me. But that's it. Like I said, back next Tuesday, full Crow Pod and all the other good shit. So we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't be fucking serious at all.